All right, you guys. That was the weirdest thing ever. I'm so sorry. I have rebooted my computer to see if that helps. And I'm glad some of you are back. All right, Laura, I'm coming back. Okay.
Well, that's a little better.
I don't know what was going on. I think the Zoom app was just losing its mind. I mean, I unplugged all kinds of stuff and plugged back in and all kinds of stuff. Wow.
Well, that's hilarious because I was just saying it's my first call ever and it's like totally out of my comfort zone and then everything totally blew up.
Well, I'm totally out of my comfort zone too. It's never happened. And I was sitting here going, I don't know what's going on.
That's great.
Coach me. I don't know. So what do you want to talk about? Thank you for coming.
Oh, sure. I wouldn't miss the opportunity. I know that for PMP, we try to not be like too far in the past on things and like dwell in the past. But a lot of my past kind of got shoved in my face yesterday. I found out yesterday that my dad's mother is in the hospital and has been moved to hospice today. Okay. And our relationship with her was not very good from starting at the age of 12. My parents made the decision it would be better off for us kids to just cut ties with them. There was a lot of manipulation occurring, specifically like my grandmother using me as a pawn to like do terrible things to my parents, paint them in the worst picture possible. So then about 7 years ago, my dad decided to reconnect with them because they were much older and he's their only child and he had a sense of responsibility to kind of step in and take care of them. So then yesterday I got the news about her being in the hospital and I was completely conflicted because there's a lot of anger around that relationship. And for a really long time, I kind of blamed myself for a lot of things that happened, which after a whole lot of years, now I realize, you know, I was a kid, you know, I didn't know any better. And I tried to do like a journal entry on it yesterday and tried to work through the model, but really I kind of got to the thought piece and I really just had no idea how to even feel.
Okay.
Even go beyond that. And
tell me what this is.
Well, so my thought yesterday was really, I have no idea how to feel about this. it's just a whole lot of mixed emotions of, you know, obviously as a kind, compassionate person, she is a human being that is facing dying. And that's gotta be truly scary as a person. And also for my dad, I mean, this is his father died 5 years ago. And so this is, you know, his last living parent that he's got to say goodbye to. But at the same time, I have a lot of this anger and kind of resentment for all the manipulation that she did for all those years and even continued to do when my dad decided to reconnect with her.
So your thought is she's a big manipulator.
Unfortunately, yes. I don't like to say those kinds of things just because I think it's just it doesn't feel good to say those kinds of things.
But you're thinking it.
Yeah.
And what's the feeling that brings up? Anger? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say anger is pretty, that's been the underlying theme for a long time.
So what do you do when you're angry about this?
Last night, I kind of I was just kind of numb and I didn't really, it didn't really do anything. Today I noticed I was starting to kind of fall back into some of my old habits where I feel like anytime I start to feel any kind of negative emotion is when I automatically go to food. And it's like, it's so automatic that there's not even a pause. Like I tried to do a couple of recovery sheets too. And it seems like when I get to that part where it says, did you just react or something? I mean, I always just react. There's no like pause before that reaction.
But now you have awareness that you're doing that. Did you always have that awareness?
Not before PMP.
So that's progress.
Okay. Yeah.
You're seeing the pattern, and that's always the first step, is seeing the pattern. All right. So you're angry. You either do nothing or you eat. And, you know, so you pretty much close yourself off from the situation, right?
I pretty much do. I pretty much do whatever it takes just to kind of numb whatever negative emotion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I saw myself tonight, like I planned out my whole day and I was cruising along, and it was my first day back in the office after being off since the middle of December. And I knew I was going to be tired, and I had Corinne in my head, you know, when 2:30 came around, you know, yeah, you're tired. You probably just need a break. And I thought, well, all right, I'll go for a walk or something. Came back, got an update on my grandmother. And then my coworker was handing out Hershey Kisses, and I'm like, well, I'm tired, and sugar, that kind of sounds like it might help.
Yeah, justified.
You know, so I had two Hershey Kisses, and I'm like, all right, well, I'll be doing a recovery sheet on that. And then I came home, and I had dinner, and I stuck to my planned dinner. But then as I'm fixing my lunch for tomorrow, I'm like, oh, that looks good, so I'll eat some of this. But it kind of made me think afterwards that maybe I'm doing that just because I kind of have all of this stuff with my grandmother floating around through my head, and I'm trying to numb it, but I don't want to go through this process and like completely fall back into those ways of coping with it. So I don't know how to like try to work to build a pause in before like just automatically reacting.
You say, well, there's the reaction happens after a thought and a feeling.
Yeah.
It goes by pretty fast, it sounds like. Okay.
Yeah.
So the thought is, you know, you told me what the thought was, right? On the Hershey Kisses. I'm tired. Mm. The thought on the grab assy stuff at lunch. At dinner, what was that thought? I'm having some weird feedback again now.
Oh.
What was the dinner thought? I see at dinner.
I think it was just, I don't necessarily want to say overwhelmed because I know that that's a feeling, but it was, I think, just an overload of thoughts, you know, just being back in the office, and it was a really busy day there. And then, you know, also thinking about how my grandma being in hospice is ultimately going to end, you know, I mean, right now we're just kind of playing the waiting game. So
you had a lot of things going through your head at that point that could, that could have led to it. So I don't know that this is an automatic reaction. It may be something that you go straight to, that's how you distract.
Mm-hmm.
But you're seeing that you're doing that. So yes. If you do a recovery worksheet every single time you eat off plan, what's going to start happening is after a few days, you're going to be like, if I eat that, I'll have to do that damn worksheet.
Yeah. And it's painful too, because I feel like I should have like some huge insight that comes from it. And I think I get frustrated that I'm like seeing that I am just reacting to things and I'm not.
You don't, but maybe the insight is that you are reacting to things.
Yeah.
What you don't uncover what it is you really need to uncover until the 45th.
100%. Sorry, I'm going to put this away. That was my speaker.
What if you don't uncover it until the 45th worksheet or the 60th worksheet? Did you hear at the beginning of the call, it was Victoria, was talking about the girl who's lost 90 pounds who has a stack of 300 of them in her kitchen?
Wow.
She has more now. I mean, that was 300 in October.
Wow.
Okay. She just keeps going.
Yeah.
And she knows if she eats, she's going to have to do a recovery worksheet, or overeats, she's going to have to do a recovery worksheet. And she does that. And she looks for trends and she decides this is what I'm going to do because my goals are important enough.
Yeah. I know that it definitely pays off in the end, and it's definitely worth doing. Mm-hmm. Just like it's difficult for sure.
Well, it's just a process. It's a process of learning yourself and what your triggers are and what you're telling yourself that leads to the urge to eat off plan.
Yeah.
Okay. And identifying that, looking at it every single time you have an overeat will help you identify what that is. And it will slow down your reaction, your distraction reaction to eat.
Okay.
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 It's not a magic pill. It's just work.
I know.
But it's great work because think about all the things you've already learned about yourself.
Yeah.
When did you join?
September.
Okay. So in 3 months, look what you've uncovered.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. It's been really...
I want to tell you, it's not really about your grandmother. It's really about how you react to thoughts about her.
Yeah.
How you react to thoughts about work. How you react to thoughts about being busy or tired.
Yeah. Okay. So keep doing the recovery sheets.
Yes.
Okay.
Just print out a bunch of them and have them stacked up in the kitchen ready for you.
I feel like I need to have them everywhere.
Maybe that's what you need to do, is tape one to the refrigerator.
Yeah. Not a bad idea.
Oh, yeah. If I eat, I'll have to do that thing.
Okay.
All right. See ya.
Thanks.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Leah, you are next. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Are you coming back to camp?
I am. I'll be there in January and in April.
Nice. It's because you've connected. It's because you've connected with all of us, right?
Right. And Corinne was teasing me saying that I've become like an ultra fan. I was like, absolutely. It just really is just, I like it. It's just a marker for me. Like, you know, it's something to look forward to. I can have objectives of what I want to achieve prior to the camp, and then getting that burst of Corinne and you guys will be perfect. So I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it too. It's next week. Can you believe? I can't believe it.
No, I'm going to see Betsy and Corinne because they're coming to Dallas. You know, I'm in Dallas, so I'm like super blessed because I'll see them on the 10th, and then I'll see everybody on the 18th. Right. So right. I get to cheat a little bit.
So what do you want to talk about?
So actually it's piggybacking off of a call I had with Corinne at the end of December.
Okay.
So I did my vision board New Year's Eve with my sister, my little niece, and we worked on it, and I did like these four quadrants, like I want to buy a house this quarter. So that was really, I had a really clear vision of what I wanted that house to be. The second quadrant was like my fitness goals, my weight loss goals. It was very crystal clear on what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And I was going to do a quadrant on, you know, work and relationships. And relationship was very clear of what I wanted. I'm single, so I was creating, you know, manifesting what I was looking for. But the one for work, it was very, I did not have a clear vision at all for work, which is opposite of what I've been my entire life. I've been very career driven. I've put everything, kind of everyone and everything to the side to have this amazing career, which, you know, it worked out in my favor. I do have a great career, everything that I picked on the, someone pointed out in my Marco Polo group, oh, everything in there is black. The pictures were black. The writing was black. And all the other ones were very colorful because I was, you know, cutting out from magazines. So I thought, oh my God, it kind of like bothered me that I didn't have a clear vision for my work. Mm-hmm. And then I thought about what Corinne said to me. She said that she'd been working with Brooke on just not achieve, like staying where you are. Mm-hmm. And maybe when it comes to my career, because I put it in such at the front burner, you know, for the last, you know, 20 years. And now maybe it's time to put that in the back burner and let all those other things like connecting with people be at the forefront. But I'm really uncomfortable with not having kind of a clear purpose for work. And I just need to work through some of that and I need some direction.
So let me ask you this. Before camp, before this whole, all this work you've done on connection with people, mm-hmm. what would you say was the easiest thing in your life to do?
It was my career. It's right. Very easy.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So then you had this shift at camp and you started making friends and started, you know, communicating and connecting and all that kind of stuff. So work became not the easiest. Maybe it's still easy. Maybe it's still easy, but it's not the highest priority anymore. Right. You want to have
right.
like your brain exploded with all these other things you can do and be. Right?
Correct. Yes.
House. You can, you know, work on your finances. You've got all this connection with all these people and all this kind of stuff. So maybe this year is where you stay level at work and you work on another area of your life.
I think that's where I need to go, but it's the fear that's driving me. So I guess the thought is, yeah. So I'm trying to identify what that thought that's generating that fear. And I think it's because, that's why I've gotten all my validation and value is because I've been so good at work. Mm-hmm. And so if that's removed, I guess the thought is if you remove that, then will I have any value there? You know, I start going to the spinning like, well, then I won't, you know, they won't need me.
That's where you're getting all your feel good comments from other people.
Well, yeah, it's the one area in my life that I've always been extremely successful in. Like I've never been successful in having a romantic relationship. I've had relationships, but they've always just ended, you know, not so great. Mm-hmm. You know, I have friends, but I've realized that I'm very like, you're my friend as long as you're in my face every day. And then once I move on to something else, then I don't really, you know, so I was just always not good at maintaining things outside of my job. Right. So that's the only time I've ever felt a level of success so with any.
Do you think if you buy a house and find a boyfriend, you'll lose your job?
Logically, no, but it just really frightens me. And I see that it's such a core issue for me.
Only focus on one thing at one time.
No, I'm very good at multitasking, but yeah, so that's why I called because I'm really having a lot of conflict
out there to try something new. It goes back to connection.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. You've connected at work. You've connected with your job, with your people at work, with the work that you do and all that. The next level connection is what?
With a guy. It's like more of an intimate thing because with work, I don't have an intimate connection with that. It's just
your job though, to the will to do the job.
You know, my job, I'm just such a naturally curious person. That's why I love thought work. You know, my Marco Polo group always comments on how like I just dive in and just attack the thought work. It's just because I'm so curious about taking everything up a notch. Mm-hmm. And that's what because I have that internal drive just to seek information. It benefited for me and work.
So why does it make you nervous? To look for curiosity, to be curious in places other than work.
I think it's just the unfamiliarity. And what if I am not successful and I shift all my focus and I'm not focused at work? And I'm just spinning and I have to meet. So I was in New York. Yeah.
I think I would pick one area instead of all three.
Why don't you
create quarter one goals in one area?
Okay. All so right. Quarter one goal will be I need to buy a house this year.
Okay.
Because I've been back in Dallas 2 years from New York City because I sold my house when I left to move to New York. And so I've been in rentals for 2 years, so it's time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I can focus on that. That could be my first quarter. And it's funny because that was my first quadrant. My second quadrant was, you know, losing weight, fitness, PMP. And the other two are just kind of there.
So you're actually working on the losing weight, fitness, and PMP all in the background, right? Because you're doing all this thought work. You're doing, you know, you've got your Marco Polo group. You're coming to camp, right?
Yeah, that's pretty strong, you know, and I shared my Marco Polo group today. This is the first time ever in me trying to lose weight that I actually believe that I will get to my goal weight. I've never believed it. I've wished it. I've wanted it. I thought, but to actually believe it in my core that I'm going to get there. Yes, I have no doubt.
Yeah. Because you've created evidence for yourself. That's what you've done. You've watched yourself in the process and you've created evidence for yourself. You're in Queen's Club now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I thought I saw you come into Queen's Club. So what if you did that? What if you just made little steps instead of taking on the entire world at one time? What if you made little steps toward pick one goal and move toward it while you're maintaining all this great success you're having at work and with your Marco Polo group? What's one thing you can do?
I think I really need to. I think Corinne did say something in the call about. I think I need to sit back and think about the success that I've had and appreciate it. And because I've never really probably have had, I've never allowed myself to sit in a quiet space or sit in a not, you know, trajectory movement and work and just look back at my career and see that all the things that I've accomplished and just be proud of myself and tell myself it's okay to take a breath, because I think I need to do that. Maybe this is what this is about. Maybe the reason I can't come up with something because I need to do that. I need to acknowledge what has happened in the last 15 years with this company. And in order for me to take the next step, whatever, I can't do it without stopping and pausing and reflecting. So maybe that's what it's about. It's a reflection year and work.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Because there's no reason you can't maintain your excellent level of work. Okay. You don't have to up level. You can maintain while you're up leveling something else. Kind of like, you know, you find your 2-2, so you're good there. Now let's work on the water. You know what I'm saying? It's mm-hmm. just, you know, to create a basics analogy. That's all you're doing. Instead of going in and saying, okay, I've got my 2-2, I have to do all the other three things at one time. Oh my God, I don't know how to get to all three of them at once. You know what I'm saying? Hey, mm-hmm. you maintain what you're doing well and you up level in another area.
I think change the thought to reflection, mm-hmm. then I think that will address the fear. I guess I had to think it out loud with you. Mm-hmm. To figure out what that thought needed to be, the new thought needs to be. But I think it's time. I've given all my energy and time to this work, to this career that I haven't really developed any kind of personal or relationship skills at all. I mean, I'm like going to be 49 in September, so it's time, I think.
I think you have some interpersonal relationship skills.
I do, but it's like it has never been like at the forefront, you know? Like I've just hung my shingle on just being this career driven person and being kind of, I don't know, but I really think that I'm going to, you know, I have to, so when I moved back from New York to move back to Dallas from New York, when I took this job, I told my boss that I wanted to have a State of the Union every year mm-hmm. to make sure it was still a fit for me and for him, just because I've been with the same company for, I mean, my 15th year, but I've moved different divisions and stuff like that. And been through the ringer, and this was the first time that I've been in a position of negotiating and in a position of power. And so I want to have a talk with him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's driven all this. Like, what am I going to talk about? But I guess what I can talk about is just the success that we've had. We have a huge developer client that was actually going to leave us last year, last December. They put us on notice that they were not happy with us. And I've completely turned that relationship around in 1 year now. They like adore me. So I guess I can just, with him, I can just say, we're going to maintain what we've been doing. Mm-hmm. It's a maintain conversation and it's a reflection on what we've done and maintaining. So I guess I've just answered my own question I asked you.
Sounds like it. Sometimes you just need to talk it through though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel better now.
Good. I don't know. I don't know if I did anything. I think you did good work.
Well, I think I just wanted to make sure the thoughts that I was saying out loud were on track, because I can have all kinds of thoughts, but you know, I wanted to make sure that I was thinking about it in the right way before I continued on this path, and that there's not any thought errors that I need to address. Do you see any thought errors that?
No.
Okay.
I don't. Do you see any thought errors?
No, I can't believe that I figured out just right now that it needs to be a year of reflection, and I can do that. I can do that.
Yeah. I think it's a good year for you.
Me too. I feel like this is like going to be like a bang up year. I was actually thinking about that this morning. I think when I go back, and so I'm planning to go to camp in October too.
Because it's going to be right. Like, make it a quad.
Oh, I am going to. I actually made so 2019 is about achieving my goals and making it about P&P. So I'm doing everything, every event that you're hosting, I'm attending. Nice. And October will be very special because it'll be my 1 year of actually actively working the program. So
awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thank you, Kathy. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I'll see you soon. Okay. Bye. Bye.
Linda, you're up. Hi.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Very good. I'm a New Year's newbie.
Welcome.
Thank you. So I'm loving the program and I'm taking deep dives. And I got to the point where I met up with a P&P sister here in Hawaii, which was fun.
Wow. And you there.
Yes. Another beautiful day. So we met up and we went to our kids actually were at the same wrestling meet, which was hilarious. But we went to the craft store and then we bought everything for our vision board. So I did my first vision board, which was interesting. So it was a good experience. Now that same day, it was day five of PNP. I planned my day and I went out to dinner. Well, I had an impromptu movie with my husband. And so I had planned to have wine because it was, you know, date night. So I planned to have two glasses. I didn't plan going to a movie. So we ended up going and it was a surprise. So I was really trying to think hard about what I can eat and was trying to make the best choice from the movie theaters. So I just decided green beans that were, I don't know, tempura style or whatever. And then I still had my wine. But I got so excited during the movie because it was Mary Poppins and it was fun and we were having a great time. And I just kept drinking and I was conscious. And when I was starting to overeat on those green beans, I knew I was doing it and I just didn't care. So I just kept going. Okay. So I overate on the beans and then I overdrank. But then I knew that I'd have to write about it. And then I learned that there's this recovery worksheet. So I did that. And then I was trying to do the thought download and I got a little stuck.
Okay.
Yeah. So in the recovery worksheet, I did everything except for what did I learn? I don't think it was too deep. You know, what did I learn is it was really fun. And
so what you learned that when things get really fun, you like to.
Well, if I go to the movie, I need to go bring the food with me. And then the thing I couldn't answer was, or I haven't yet, is when spontaneous activities come up, I will. Mm-hmm. I haven't processed that, or when things get exciting, I will.
What will you do?
I don't know.
What if you just say, what if it's as easy as when spontaneous things come up, I'll take a pause and think about my plan?
But I paused in the middle of the movie and I kept going.
Well,
so I couldn't figure
you
out.
Paused? What
I did.
Next time you pause and you don't keep going.
Yeah. And I didn't have popcorn, which is a huge thing.
Well, and you haven't paused before. This is the first time.
And I haven't what?
You haven't paused before.
That's true. That's
right?
True.
So do you think you're going to join and in 8 days you're going to hit weight loss perfection?
No, but I'm working on being moderate. So I tend to be black and white. So.
You just eat.
I want to be good.
As you learn about yourself, that's what's mm-hmm. going to happen. You have to be patient because sometimes you'll hit that pause and you'll go, nope, I'm being good today. I'm not overeating. I've planned one glass. That's all I'm having. And other days you're going to be like, well, another glass won't hurt. And that's mm-hmm. when you do the recovery worksheet and you figure out what that thought is that's, you know, creating the urge to eat or drink.
But I haven't got to that yet. I don't know.
You're 8 days in. Just keep doing the work.
Okay.
Your eyes, you're not going to be 100% eyes open in 8 days. Okay.
Yeah.
So I was telling somebody else earlier on the call, Laura maybe, you know, what you're doing is incremental learning. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You recognize now that you can take a pause. Right? You didn't
mm-hmm.
know that.
Yeah.
That you can
right.
take. You just steamed on through and, you know, drank to Mary Poppins, you know, and
it was so much fun.
Now you realized, you know, you could take a pause and that pause is your decision point. Do I keep drinking and eating green beans?
Mm-hmm.
Do I stop? Because I'm at my two and I've had a
right.
plan.
Right.
So that's your next step. The next time the spontaneous thing happens, you
uh-huh.
say, take a pause and reflect on my plan.
Okay, and later some epiphany will come.
Huh?
What's that?
And then decide whether or not you're going to overeat or overdrink.
And then if I overeat and overdrink, then
you do a recovery worksheet.
How will I take a deeper dive into that?
You do another recovery worksheet. You just keep doing those mm-hmm. recovery worksheets until you start seeing trends, and until you start okay. seeing, oh wait, maybe it's not. I'm so happy. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's, you know, you just start doing that work every single time. It's funny. You might do a recovery worksheet that looks exactly the same 15 times. And on that 16th time, something else comes up and you're like,
really? Okay.
Yeah. But it takes that consistent reflection to figure it out.
Can you do a quick model with me? Because I tried it and I'm stuck.
Okay.
So I did the C, I did my eyes. It said, I drank unplanned extra wine at the movie. You could add overeat too. That was the C, right?
Well,
then
tell me the C would be how many glasses of wine you drank.
Oh, not I overate and had extra?
No.
Okay.
That's a thought. I overate.
Okay. Okay.
You want to have exactly what you overate or overdrank in that C line.
So both?
Sure.
Okay. So I drank 4 glasses of wine and I ate to a plus, I don't know, 5.
Green, that's a lot of green beans. That's my thought.
They were tempura, so they were so good. Anyway.
So, about that. What's your thought about what you ate?
I blew it even after doing my vision boards. I can't do this.
right? How did that make you feel?
Like a failure.
Okay. And what do you do when you feel like a failure?
I didn't know how to go anywhere from here.
Okay. So what do you do when you feel like a failure? What do you do?
Well, I drink wine.
Okay. So that's your action. You drink more.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I drink more.
Uh-huh. Anything else? Okay. Do you talk badly to yourself? You have negative self-talk?
Oh, all the time. I mean, that's a recording.
Yeah.
I don't know what I say, though. I'm not really dialed into that yet. Yeah. All the time.
You need thought download that. But put that on your action line, negative self-talk. What else do you do?
I have no idea. I don't really overeat.
When you failed, what else do you do? Overeat, overdrink, negative self-talk, anything else?
No. Oh, maybe sometimes I fail at work, like I push a deadline out of defiance or something.
All right. So
I don't know.
What was your thought again? I blew it, right?
I blew it even after doing the vision board. I can't do this.
So I blew it leads to failure, leads to overeating and overdrinking and negative self-talk. Leads to, what's that result in?
More failure? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, it proves that I'm a failure.
Keep on.
Because
keep on.
I'm. Yeah. Right.
You just repeat the cycle.
Right. And that's why I'm at PP. So now what do I do?
So now what do you do? You
right.
Do your recovery worksheets? You thought download about why you blew it? Why did you go off plan?
So, but isn't that the same as the recovery worksheet? It's kind of the same thought download, isn't it?
Kind of is. But, you know, what was it you said a few minutes ago that I said you need to thought download on?
My negative thinking? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I need to do that.
Yeah.
And on the left side, I don't understand the difference between unintentional and intentional. Is the unintentional the bad things we say and then you reframe it to the way you could possibly?
Yeah. Okay. The unintentional is what you actually do that you want to change. Okay. I don't want to call it bad. Okay. Because it might not be bad. Yeah. It just might not be where you want to be.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
But, you know, you want it exceptional. So. Right. It's the model that's playing right now that you want to change.
Okay. Right,
the unintentional. The intentional model is the model you want to work toward.
Okay.
So in this case, at the movies with Mary Poppins, what do you want to think about being at the movies with Mary Poppins?
That it's really fun.
Okay. So this is fun and I don't have to overdrink. Right?
Yeah. Right.
Uh-huh. And what's that feeling?
Like I'm righteous, like I'm happy.
Happy, controlled.
Right.
Something right. like that. Your action.
Happy and in control.
Your action. When you're happy and you're in control and you're following your action is that you follow plan, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that results in, you know, a cycle.
Getting my health goals.
Yeah. So that's your intentional model. You see how that works?
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. I just have to guess. I need to keep on practicing.
Yes. You're doing great for 8 days in. Just keep working.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. See you.
Aloha.
Aloha. Bye. Okay, Trish, your turn.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm a newbie.
Huh?
I'm a newbie, a New Year's newbie.
Welcome.
And I'm having a little bit of an issue trying to figure out my hunger scale.
Okay.
So I've all my life, because my mother was this way, you eat breakfast at 7, you eat lunch at noon, you eat dinner at 6, and that's the way it's been my entire life. So now I'm trying to figure out how it feels when I'm hungry, because I still eat breakfast at 7, I eat lunch at noon, and I eat dinner at 6, regardless of whether I'm hungry or not, because I don't even think about it. So I've been trying to think about it, and I don't know if I'm hungry because I'm hungry, or if I think I'm hungry because I'm thinking about it.
You think you're hungry because you're thinking about it.
Yeah. So today, because I watched Corinne yesterday, and she was like, you know, if you're not hungry, then you don't have to eat, whatever. So this morning, I had my oatmeal for breakfast at like 9:30, which is like 2.5 hours later than I would normally eat my breakfast.
Were you hungry?
I think I was a little hungry.
You think you were?
I don't think I was a -2.
Okay.
But I think I was maybe close to a -1.
Okay.
So then when lunchtime rolls around, I'm like, I don't think I'm hungry.
Okay.
So I'm just going to wait. Mm-hmm. So then 1 o'clock came and I'm like, am I hungry? I don't think I'm hungry. So all the rest of the day, I kept thinking, am I hungry? Am I not hungry? Mm-hmm. And I decided that I wasn't hungry.
Okay.
But then at dinner time at 6 o'clock, I'm like, I ate dinner, but I'm not sure that I was actually hungry. But it was dinner time. So I think I'm having that issue of, am I hungry or am I conditioned?
You're conditioned.
Yeah.
You're definitely conditioned. I think it's really awesome, though, that you waited between 9:30 to dinner time looking for hunger. That's exactly what you need to do, except you need to wait for hunger. Keep looking,
right. But
wait for -2. Tell me what would be wrong with not having anything to eat until 12 o'clock.
There would be nothing wrong with it, except that that's my conditioning. So it's like, I should be eating something.
Stop saying that's my conditioning.
Right.
It's just what you're used to. That's
right.
It doesn't have to be your conditioning. It's just, you know, it's just what you've done up to now.
Right.
So, but you can always do something else, right? You don't have to eat at noon, right?
Correct.
Okay.
I'm at work. I can eat anytime I want to if I'm staying at my desk and working through it.
Yeah.
So if I wanted to eat at 3, I could. But because I think it's like, well, if I don't eat breakfast till 9 and then I don't eat lunch till 3 and then I don't have dinner till 9. I go to bed at 9. What am I going to do then? So I'm trying to schedule things.
Yeah, stop.
To fit in my time frame.
Yeah, that's stop. What has scheduling your food gotten you?
Nowhere.
How many extra pounds, right?
Exactly.
Your food gotten you.
Right.
And we're just working on the hunger side of the scale.
Right.
And that's probably where you need to start. Once you figure out the hunger side, then you can figure out the full side. But here's the thing. Tomorrow, let's say tomorrow you don't eat breakfast until you're hungry and it's, I don't know, 11 o'clock. You eat. Okay. Then you wait for hunger again and you wait and you wait and it's 8 o'clock at night. You're still not hungry. Do you have to eat?
I don't have to, but I probably would feel like I should. And that's where I should think, okay, don't should on yourself, like Corinne says.
Right. So your body tells you when it needs food.
Right.
What if you have a couple of days worth stored up and you don't need to eat tomorrow?
I think that probably is a little scary for me.
Why?
Just, I don't know, because it doesn't feel normal, maybe.
Right. Because it's different.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. But here's what happens when you're learning your hunger scale, and when you've been eating to the clock, it takes your body a minute to catch up. So if, let's say, all you eat tomorrow is oatmeal, the next day it would probably be hungry at 7 or 8 o'clock, and you would eat, and you might actually find yourself, you know, eating every 4 to 5 hours, like you're supposed to, like you're probably going to, if you're eating on a hunger scale. But the first day or two, it might not actually demonstrate hunger for you because you've overeaten for so long.
Right. And I've worked really hard because my first change that I made was eating at the kitchen table. Mm-hmm. Because I normally just eat in front of the TV and then I just unconsciously eat. So I've been eating at the kitchen table, putting my fork down, not watching TV. And that's helped me a lot with stopping eating when I'm feeling not full, because I don't want to get to that point because you're already past that point.
Right.
So, but it's figuring out when I'm hungry more than figuring out when I'm satisfied. So I think that's what?
What does hunger feel like?
My stomach growls a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I want you to do tomorrow.
Okay.
What time do you go to work?
I leave the house at 6:45.
Okay. So when you get to work, you're going to take a little notebook with you like this.
Okay.
You get to work, or you have one at work. Write down the time and write down what your body feels like. Are you hungry? Yes or no? How's your stomach feel? How's your mouth feel? Are you, you know, how's your head feel? You're going to write down, do a body scan. Then in an hour, do the same thing. Every hour, I want you to write down, I want you to really catalog how your body feels.
Okay.
Okay? I want you to write down that first growl, that first time you have a stomach growl. And you ask yourself, am I hungry? And evaluate. Think about, one of the ways I can tell that I'm hungry is my throat. For some reason, I don't know if it's just because my body is preparing for food, it feels like I can breathe really deeply. And my throat just feels really opened up. All this breathing part here feels really opened up to me when I'm approaching hunger. So look for things like that. Look for how your head feels, the clarity of your thoughts, things like that. Look for whether or not you feel distracted. But every hour, I want you to catalog your body.
Okay.
And then when you think you're at -2, which is slight hunger, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you can eat.
Okay. But
promise me you're not going to eat until you feel -2.
Right? Promise you what?
You're not going to eat until you feel -2. Okay. I want you to feel what it feels like to have hunger. Real hunger, not clock hunger, not emotional hunger. I should be eating right now.
Okay.
Real physical hunger. Okay.
I don't think I've ever felt that because I was always just, it's time to eat, I'm eating. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that I've ever really felt what hunger feels like.
So then when you feel it, get in the Facebook group and post about it.
Okay.
You mind doing that?
I will do that.
I think that would be cool because I think there are probably other January newbies who would benefit from your post.
Okay.
All right.
I will do that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. See ya.
Bye-bye.
I might be able to turn up my mic and my soft. I can also get closer to my computer. How about that? All right. I sat back a little bit hoping I was not going to have another Zoom issue. All right, Liz, your turn.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
So I'm also new.
Okay.
And I am at the part where I'm like making my protocol.
Okay.
And all the sections of that. Mm-hmm. And I did like a general outline of it and that was fine. And I like wrote down my food that I would like put on my protocols and whatever, but then I'm having a trouble or a hard time doing the servings of each part. So like the amount of veggies I'll have in the day and the amount of like protein and all of those things. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest part of that, because every time I think about it, it's like a past diet mentality thing.
Okay.
And the last thing that I did for a while was like through Beachbody with the 21 day fix thing where they give you the containers and the numbers and all of those things. Right. So I'm trying to figure out how to make realistic portions and not automatically default to those that are in my head.
Okay. So how is your hunger scale?
Sorry, what?
How is your hunger scale?
I'm good at the starting when I'm hungry part, so the negative two side. Okay. I'm still struggling on the stopping when satisfied because I tell myself that it tastes really good and all of those things. So I'm still working on that.
All right. So as you are working on your hunger scale, I think I would zone in on where your plus two is and about how much food that is for you.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Because a serving of protein might be different for me than it is for you, or a serving of dairy might be different for me than it is for you.
Okay.
So I would use the amount of food it takes you to get plus two to plus two as a serving size.
Okay.
And that's really key in you figuring out your body, because everyone's going to be a little bit different. It just kind of gives you an idea for your protocol. It's not set in stone, because as you lose weight, your serving sizes will get smaller anyway. It will
That makes sense.
Plus two.
Okay.
Is that it?
Yes, it does. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a good night.
You too.
Thank you.
Rebecca, you're next. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I am fine. So I am going to adjust this so I'm not falling off. I am new. I signed up in January, and I have a question that is not about food. It's about working on changing how I'm thinking about something, and I'm hoping you can help me with that.
Okay.
So I'm having mom issues.
Your mom?
Which is... My mom.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm a perfect mom. My children have no issues with me. Yeah.
put that on this call.
Yeah. So I'm surprised to find myself with mom issues. We have had a fine relationship last year at this time. She fell and shattered her arm and had to have surgery, and we moved her in here in our home for about 8 weeks to recover. And at that time, we discovered that she was having some dementia-like problems brought on by some nutrition and just some other things, and she was hoarding, and her house was not livable, and there was just a lot. Social worker was, it was a lot. And so the choice was, they told us to either let her be removed from her home or to go in and clean it all out, just clean it out. And so we talked to mom, and we went in and we cleaned everything out. And that really meant throwing away everything that could not go through hot water in the washer or be wiped with bleach. And so it was a lot. And as she healed and got better, some of the dementia issues went away. So there's a lot of resentment on her part that we have, as she says, thrown all her things away. Mm-hmm. And I get that. I mean, I get it. We did. Mm-hmm. And it was hard for, I'm here in the same city. I'm in Houston. I'm in the same city where she is. My brother is out of town. And so he and I are on the same page as far as what to do, as were our spouses. You know, it's hard on us because I have probably 20, 30 pictures of my childhood. Everything else was gone. Mm-hmm. You know, all of the things that it was a lot of work. It was a lot of away from my family. And I know that I'm unrealistically angry at my mom for this. You know, she didn't
her for what? What are you angry at her for?
For letting her house get like that without saying, you know, hey, I need some help.
Okay.
For not, and God, this sounds so childish, and I don't want to think this, but I do, for not understanding that it was hard on us to go in and do all of this. and not understanding that, you know, it took time away from my family to go and do it. And
so you want her, instead of her being unhappy with you, you want her to be grateful for you.
No, I want me to not need that. I want to say, you know, mom feels how she feels. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm on the right path here, you know, because I'm not trying to change mom. And what it comes to is right now I'm having a hard time wanting to call and talk to her. I'm having a hard time wanting to go and see her. And I know that is me. And that's not who I want to be. That's not how I want to be. I would die if my kids were saying this, you know? So
tell me the
result. I'm having trouble hearing you, Kathy.
Tell me the result you want to create.
I want if not back to the loving relationship we had, I want at least a warm and comfortable relationship with my mom.
Okay.
Again.
What do you need to do to create that relationship?
I need to turn loose of my resentment over the time and the assumption by her that I would just take care of everything at some, you know, for her. Well, I need to turn loose of all of the resentment. And I need to get to a point where any irritation that I have that's left, I'm not showing her, because she is a sweetheart and I do not want to put that on her.
So why are you choosing resentment? Why are you choosing that?
I don't know. You almost think it would be like I'd be more sad about it. And I was.
But why are you choosing resentment?
As opposed to just saying that's just something that happened and let's move on. I mean, the only answer that I can come up with is like, I'm an emotional toddler. I can't just.
What if you just accept that all that is done? And yeah. What you want to focus on right now, today, is your relationship with your mom. You know, everything that, you know, all the bleach, all the hoarding,
yeah.
All that stuff is done.
Right.
Right? What you want today is a loving relationship. So you have to create that today.
Right.
All that stuff in the background. You know, finished up with. Can you hear me okay? There's still people in the chat.
You're a little quiet. It sounds like your volume is turned way down. And I can see that other people are saying they're having trouble.
Weird. Okay. How do you feel about that? How can you set that aside? What can you do to create a loving relationship today? You know, if all the resentment and stuff is in the past, what can you do today?
I can call her more often.
Okay.
I can go see her at least every other week.
Okay.
So if I'm, I guess I'm just struggling with just turning that resentment off, and or turning the frustration off. I don't know how to move from here's where I am, here's where I'm supposed to be or where I want to be. Mm-hmm. It's that middle part that I don't know how to get across that.
All right, ask yourself this. If I didn't feel resentment, what would I feel?
Oh, I love her like crazy.
Okay.
I mean, she is the kindest person you have ever met.
All right.
This is shameful to me that I feel this way.
Well, that's why you can't let it go, because you're sitting in shame.
That's
the reason. You can't let it go. Sitting in shame because you're resenting her. write out that model that says she is the kindest person I will ever know.
Uh-huh.
The feeling is, you know, love, right?
Uh-huh.
When you love her, what do? You call her more often. You spend time with her. You know, do whatever you do with her.
Right,
and
right.
Is this loving relationship that you want to create.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Shame can't exist in hiding. So get out and express your love for her and see, mm-hmm. see if that doesn't help the resentment set aside. If you focus on the love and what you can do and think to show her love,
right,
then see if the resentment doesn't ease a little bit. It might still be in there a little bit because,
sure,
you know, there's some regret.
Oh God, if it's not like, sometimes I feel like it's invisible, you know? So, if I can get to a better place.
Self-judgment about it.
I'm sorry, say that last part again.
That's because of your self-judgment about it.
Okay.
Because you don't think you should feel that stuff. You know,
right.
You have to feel negative in order to feel positive. You have to feel positive in order to feel negative. I mean, it's a balance of feelings.
True.
So there can be a little bit of regret and resentment there, but it doesn't have to be the only thing. You want to balance that with all the love as well.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
All right.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Suzanne, your turn. Where did you go, Suzanne? There you are. I'm trying to unmute you. And it won't unmute. What's going on? Can you fix it somehow? I can't hear you. Man, Zoom is just being a jackass tonight. All right, I'm going to take you back to attendee and bring you back and see if that helps. Raise your hand for me again, Suzanne. Let's see if this works. Say something.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay.
Good.
Phew, I tell you. I don't know what's up with tonight. Maybe I need an app update or something. What's up?
I don't know. Okay. So I'm having a huge struggle right now. I have lost a lot of weight. And so my struggle right now is that, okay, I'm not sure how to merge like the parts of me that I liked as the old me, mm-hmm. with the person I am now. Like I really like who I am now, mm-hmm. but it's causing a lot of conflict because it was like I was this one person. And so now I've moved to the outside of that. I've become very different from who I was. And I don't want to go back there.
Okay. So
you know what I mean? So it's like my whole life kind of was in this one lane. And now I feel like I'm on the outside of that. And I don't know how to merge that with who I am now. Like there are certain things I don't want to tolerate anymore.
Okay.
And I don't want to be the people pleaser that I was. And I don't want to be the person who agrees with everybody,
mm-hmm.
does what everybody wants. Now I also want me to fit in there somewhere. You know, I'm seeing different things about myself.
I don't understand. I want me to fit in there somewhere. What if you are you? What if you've just grown as a person?
Okay, so this is where the conflict comes in, because there are things that I want, there are things that I need, and I'm willing to speak up now and say those things, and I'm not as willing to appease everyone else.
So why is that, that conflict for you?
Because my family is having an issue with it, because they want me back who I, like I was, tell and I don't exactly want that anymore.
Tell me exactly what they say.
You know, you're not the same person anymore. And okay, so this, there's so many issues intertwined with this, Kathy. Like there was even a threat of divorce, right? I'm not the same person that I was, and I'm not relating to everyone the same as I used to. And he's very uncomfortable with that. And he liked me how I was. And I'm not willing to be that person anymore. Okay. I want to take out the parts that were good, but I want to hold on to what I've become more than I want all that inside stuff, except for my family, you know, and it's really hard. It's a conflict. I mean, it's like I was so malleable before, you know what I mean? Like I was insecure and I was that people pleaser, and I dropped everything to help somebody else whenever they needed it. And it didn't matter whether I had a conflict with that or not. And now I need to keep that space for me and say, you know, this is important to me. I can't just drop what I'm doing for you, or like, this is something that I want to do. So it's become that if I want to go and do something that's exciting and nobody else wants to go with me, then I'll go and do it by myself. But then that causes a problem in that I'm not with the family. I'm not doing what they're doing. So they feel that disconnect. So I'm having a hard time merging the two, because while there were really good times, there were a lot of really rough times too.
Okay, so how is the communication with the family right now? Are you, and here's my question, when you go and do something, do you tell them, all right, I'll be back in a little while and we'll hang?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I even invite people to go with me and they don't want to, but then they're not happy that I'm not there with them.
So what we have here is a series of choices. Mm-hmm. You're choosing one thing, they're choosing something else, and they're not meeting. So what you can do is come back in and marry the choices. I think you're trying to bifurcate yourself when you're really not bifurcated. You've just grown. You've evolved. Okay. You still have pieces of you, you know, that are part of you, that will always be part of you in you now. Okay. Mm-hmm. You've just evolved. So your challenge or your work is to continue to evolve in a way that makes you happy in this relationship with your family. And, you know, it's just like that. Yeah. You're smiling.
I have teenagers who just became, you know, like not just became this way, but they're very obstinate now, and they're acting in different ways as well. So that's been really hard for me. And then it's just, Kathy, there are so many moving parts. I'm actually glad I'm coming to the April 2 day, because I try to do models. I do well with doing models and TDM. I'm having a hard time distinguishing, you know, different feelings are coming in for different scenarios. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for me to keep those all separate. And I've done up to like 8 to 10 models before on the same situation, but I feel like everything kind of is getting confused at this point. Do you know what I mean? Because like, I don't know how to get to a point where I'm willing to go back and be any semblance of what they expect me to be. Because I don't want that. I don't want that at all.
I find fascinating the whole concept of what they expect you to be.
Yeah. Which is more always attending to their needs instead of also wanting to make myself happy and address my own needs. And I'm having a problem because it's kind of like when I think about it, when I think of the two worlds, I know that there are parts of me in, you know, that's part of me, but it's almost like it's a separated part because as I've lost weight, I've had to change my whole life because I got stuck when I was about 8 or 9 years old and I developed epilepsy. And so it was kind of like, I felt like I had to please everybody. That's where my people pleasing started because nobody was ever happy with me. And I don't want to go back and be that person. And so when people are wanting me to be, it's like I'm fighting against it so hard going back there because I don't know, maybe I don't trust myself to step back into part of that without losing myself again. Do you know? I'm stronger now, so I don't have to go back to that.
There has to be a way for you to find, that's okay, for you to find a middle ground with this. You know, your evolution as a person, you know, you've just gotten better and better as you've lost weight. You've found confidence, you've found drive, you've become empowered. You know, there has to be a way for you to bring that empowerment back into your family and into your relationships with them.
I know.
Without becoming a people pleaser. I think that's where your work is. You know, there's nothing wrong with doing nice things for people. What people pleasing is a validation seek. Okay. It's a way that you can make sure people love you.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what people pleasing is.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure you're using the term correctly. Maybe you are. Maybe you needed the validation and maybe you don't need it now. Maybe that's what it is. And what they're missing is,
I don't need it now. Yeah. That is the problem.
And so
I don't need it. And they still want me to need it.
Well, that's a thought. They still want it is a thought. It sounds like what they still want is you doing, you know, everything for them and nothing for yourself. I mean, that's the way you describe it.
Right. That's what I feel.
Yeah.
It might not be the truth, I guess, but it's definitely how I feel. And I'm having a very hard time merging the two distinct parts of me.
You keep saying that, and I think that's your hang up. I want you to stop thinking there are two parts of you because there's just one Suzanne.
But I feel like I've compartmentalized that part of me that I was, even though it's still me, I've tried to get as far away from that as I possibly could. And so in the process, it kind of leaves all those things that were part of my life, except for my family, I thought I was doing okay, but apparently then there's the disconnect there. And I've tried to get so far away from who I was, like I didn't want to be that. So I escaped everything that I was doing. And I don't want to deal with the conflict anymore. So if people are fighting with me or something like that, I want to get away from that. And they feel like I'm not there with them. Why would I want to be? You know what I mean?
Here's where I think you work. I think your work is in figuring out who you are, who you want to be. Okay. So stop thinking about what they think, what you think they think. All right. Set that aside and do some work on who Suzanne is and who Suzanne wants to be. And see if they're really left.
I've done a lot of work on that, but maybe I need to figure out
as a
family, like who I want.
How do you want to show up for your family? See if you can take it that direction. I'm interested to see how this evolves for you. I'm very interested to see. Because you've lost a lot of weight, right?
131 pounds right now.
You've lost a ton of weight. So I'm very interested to see how this evolves for you. And I can imagine with that dramatic a weight loss, there is a shift. You're probably looking in the mirror sometimes and don't recognize yourself.
I love who I've become. I have no problem with it. Issue.
But I'm sure you don't. But visually, it's a huge change.
It is.
So that's why I think you really need to sit down and think about who you are versus who you were and who you want to become, because I bet there's not that big a difference.
I think there's a huge difference.
Do you think there is?
Yeah, because who I was just somebody who didn't like myself and didn't care about myself, take care of myself, and, you know, and I'm unwilling not to do the things for me that need to be done.
When it comes to your core beliefs, though, and your core values, you're probably very close to the same person. What you're describing are actions.
Yeah. I mean, I think I am, and I didn't think that there was that big of a problem going on, but apparently everyone else is having some huge issue with it. And I'm just like, I don't know why I can't do things that I want to do without everybody else acting like it's the end of the world.
So talk to them about it.
I've tried. I think with my kids, my relationship would change a lot easier, except for the fact, because I was the mom. I raised my kids almost by myself. And while they were young, and my husband has stepped into this role now, finally, after all this time of like being the person that I knew he could be. And so it's kind of displacing my role as well as the mom who everybody needed and stuff. And I was willing to step back and let them have that time with him. And it's causing a big issue, because I don't want to do what they're doing. So I don't know.
I think you need to work on the displacing thought, being displaced. I think you need to work on that. Because if you're choosing not to do what they're doing, then you're not being displaced. You're making that choice.
True.
Okay.
True.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's the only thing that they want to do. So yeah, I'll work on this some more. Thank you. I really have done a lot of work on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just do not want to lose that. You know, I think that's value, you know, for me. And I think it's value for my family. But they're having a major issue, like, and so am I.
Well, keep working on helping them understand your evolution.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
See you. Okay, I'm going to take a couple more since we're after 8 o'clock. I'm not sure how to say this. Pearsall, let's see what you've got. You can tell me how to say your name. What just happened to you? Raise your hand again for me. There you are. All right. Gotcha.
Did it work?
Yes.
Ah, it's so crazy to see you.
Hi. Tell me what your
name is. Hi, I'm Brit. Oh, my name is Lee. My last name's Pierce, but the computer just picks the name and I just went with it. I hadn't thought in my head about, duh.
Okay. So what's up?
Well, I'm a newbie. It's so cool to meet you. You've been in my head for so many months now. It's really strange.
It's funny,
like, meeting myself
on the podcast, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Oh, I imagine. Well, I'm new, and I wanted to chat briefly about, I have a sleeping thing.
Okay.
So my problem is not that I don't sleep enough, but that I am just sort of like a mega sleeper. And right now I'm on break from, I'm a professor, so I'm on break from teaching college. So I have just basically my whole days to myself, and I keep setting these plans. I found an accountability partner through the Facebook. And I just keep telling myself, like, okay, tomorrow we'll get up at 10 and then I'll get up at 3 p.m. And then it's like, okay, tomorrow we'll get up at noon and I'll meet myself where I am and we'll get up at 4 p.m. And I just sleep all day. And the biggest issue is that then when I get up, I feel so off. Like, I don't know then if I should still eat three meals or two. My hunger is all wacky because I'm hungry at like 1 a.m. because I'm awake and all my, you know, adrenaline's going because I've only been up 6 hours. But then I eat. So then when I go to bed, I'm not hungry. I don't know. It's just, it's really stressful. And the more I stress about it, the more I sleep in, I think, because sleeping is a good way to avoid having to get up early in the morning and have a whole day ahead of me.
How many hours are you sleeping?
12 to 14, probably.
And do you do this every break?
Yeah. Cause during the semester on weekends, I sometimes will do it, but I teach 8:30 a.m. classes and I do that on purpose to get me up and get me going. And so I wouldn't say I'm sleep deprived during the semester, but I'm definitely running on 7 to 8 most nights, some nights 6, but I've always been sort of pretty good about getting sleep. So I'm not like a 4 hour a night person.
So how does your sleep cycle get out of whack?
I don't know. It seems so delicate because one night of staying up way too late because, say, I have to grade papers or I just didn't sleep well or I laid there all night thinking and not sleeping throws me off. And then the next day, you know, I'm so tired that I don't want to get up and I got nothing to do. So I just figure, well, might as well catch up on the sleep. And then that one day just kind of throws it off. And then it seems to be harder to push my bedtime back to even midnight, which would be late, but better than what I'm doing now. Or I will push it back and then I'll still sleep the next day. And it's hard with my thought models because if I could get up and get the thought models in front of me, I could realize that I'm telling myself a bunch of bullshit about needing all this extra sleep. But because I'm groggy and tired, it doesn't kick in. And then it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I am doing my thought work at that point, but I've lit a match to half the day at that point.
Well, there's one thought. I've lit a match to half the day.
Right. That it's a sunk cost, right? Fallacy. Yeah. That's true.
That's one thought. So that just kind of gives you permission to, you know, the rest of the night. What if you just thought, my body must have needed rest. I'll get back in bed tonight.
Yeah. Or I've started to just maybe just change my plan to like tomorrow, instead of writing a plan that starts at 10 a.m., just write a plan that's going to start at 3 p.m. because that's probably when I'm going to get up. But if I wind up getting up at 10, yep, then great.
You still have lunch and dinner. You know, they just time different than I would have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Right?
Yeah. I just
still wait for hunger.
Yeah.
You know,
I guess I'm wondering, what do you do? So, because when I wake up, I am tired. Like, I can't tell if that's a circumstance or a thought because I wake up, I'm groggy, I have a headache, I want to go back to sleep because I don't know how much sleep is enough sleep. And I can't tell if that's a circumstance, like, yes, you in fact don't feel well, or if that's a thought that I don't feel well, that's letting me off the hook from just getting up and going about my day.
It's a thought.
It is a thought.
Circumstance is something that everyone in the world would agree with.
Right.
Okay. And
I don't know. Okay.
It's not, you know, that's a thought. Okay.
Okay.
The time you got up, the number of hours of sleep that you got.
All right.
Anything quantifiable is a fact or
so. Okay.
Anything that's just a noun is a circumstance, no adjective.
Okay.
You know.
Ah.
Okay. So that's where you start, is separating out your thoughts. And once you understand you've got a whole kind of bunch of thoughts going on in here, then you realize that those thoughts are optional.
So I have to work on the thought that I'm tired, I don't feel well, I still need more sleep, which is an interpretation of something and not actually true. And that because maybe I, like, I don't know, instead of blowing past my two, I usually blow past my wake up time. That's like my biggest issue. I need to work on maybe if I do blow past that wake up time, not just assuming then that that means I can't just go about my day. Right. And then maybe planning more realistically for the fact that I may not get up at 10 a.m. and have the perfect day, but in fact, maybe just need to plan lunch and dinner. Okay.
So what does the perfect day look like when you're at a session? What does a perfect day look like?
I get up. This is my dream day that I've never actually had, but I get up at 6:30. I throw on clothes and I hop in the car and I'm on campus by 6:45, or I'm on campus by like 7 o'clock to set up because I teach an early morning express Pilates class for the faculty and staff. So I teach that from 7:15 to 7:45. Then I would do my TDLs and have my breakfast and start teaching at 8:30. And then at that point, my day pretty much vibes. I have my coffee. I do my writing. I check in with my students. At some point around 2 o'clock, I get hungry and I eat lunch, do some more teaching. Sometimes I teach another fitness class. I have to walk a lot during the day. I get my water in. And then usually around 6 or 7, I'll advise some kind of student group or I'll head home. And then I make dinner. I eat dinner. I watch like 1 hour of TV and then I'm in bed.
Right. So what does the perfect day look like when you're not in school?
It would look very similar to that, except instead of doing the teaching part of it, I would use those blocks of time to prep and catch and get ahead of things that I let fall behind during the semester. Also, I would get out and walk because during this, it's so easy for me to just sit in my house all day. I'm from New York, so it's cold outside and I just like do not want to hustle. And then, I bet you know, if I get it. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So what prevents you from creating your ideal day when you're not in school?
Part of it is I don't know. I think I'm so tired when school's done with that I sleep for a couple days. And then I just find it hard to get back into the habit because there's nothing forcing me to get up in the morning. And I know that that's optional, right? Because if I can get up when I have to get up and I'm tired, I should be able to get up every other day. But
it's a decision point for you.
It's a decision point. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. To just say, you know what, I'm getting up. And some of it is I don't necessarily really like my boyfriend. We've been together a long time. I'm not very happy, but I haven't strategized a way out of it. And I think sometimes I just don't want to get up because if I'm asleep, he can't bother me. But if I get up, then he's around and things are tense and I'm not happy. And I feel like my house doesn't sort of like belong to me. I'm like living, sharing this space with somebody and I'm not happy. So if I'm in the bedroom and I'm asleep or I'm at work, then, but it's that transition point of getting someplace else where I don't feel so stressed.
There's your work right there.
Stressed?
No, you're sleeping to avoid.
Oh yeah. Oh, definitely. I think. Yeah.
That's your work. You need to get yourself back on schedule, create your ideal day. And figure out how you're going to get out of avoidance. Either be with him or you're going to have to move.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm trying to think about how to get around that for now until I have enough money to be at another place. Okay. But yeah, I think that's right. But I think for now, at least if I do wind up sleeping in until 3 o'clock tomorrow, just not saying, like similar with like binge, like an overeat, right? Just not saying, well, that means I guess the rest of the day is just not.
Right.
Not happening, right? Yeah.
Got it.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, I will work on that then.
Sounds good.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, Jennifer, you're the last one, it looks like, the last one standing.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Thank you so much for doing this. I know it's past time, so I'll try to be quick.
Okay. What's up?
So I actually want to talk about relationships today. That's kind of been a theme, I guess. Specifically with my mother-in-law. And what I'm looking to do is I really need to intentionally decide what kind of relationship I want to have with my in-laws.
Right, right.
So just some quick context. My husband and I got married a year and a half ago now, and my in-laws live overseas. So I've only actually met them two times before our wedding, once for dinner in New York, and then once I went to Poland for 2 weeks. And both of those interactions have been negative and very stressful. And that continued the week of our wedding too. It's not been good. And they would, they don't like me. They would probably tell you that. And the reason they don't like me is because I'm American. So there's some significant cultural issues at play here. Okay. And so this was all kind of just water under the bridge. I was sort of dealing with it. I don't really talk to them ever. My husband will Skype with them and it's always in Polish. But now I'm actually pregnant now. I'm 25 weeks pregnant. And that's, yeah, it's exciting, but that's definitely a transition time as well. Because now we sort of need to figure out, you know, how do we have a relationship with them, or do we want to have a relationship with them? And what does that look like exactly? Mm-hmm. And I can't figure out, despite all my TDLing and models, how to create an intentional model about the type of relationship I want to have with them, and how I can, the feelings I need to have, the thoughts, the actions I need to take to get there, when I myself can't decide what a relationship with them would look like. The examples I have in my life, my parents had wonderful relationships with their in-laws, and they would tell you that. Mm-hmm. And so I know of sort of this wonderful example, and then kind of my reality, which is they're very critical of me. And I don't know how to get past that to create the type of relationship that I want. Okay. And I'd love some advice.
You're creating a relationship as a two-way street.
I'm sorry?
You're creating a relationship as a two-way street.
It is, yes.
It's not. The relationship you create with them is how you show up for the relationship. They get to decide how they show up.
They're not going to change. They're not going to change.
You don't know if they're going to or not. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
What matters is how you show up.
Yeah. So I don't know how I want to show up.
That's what you need to decide.
Exactly. And so that's where I've been stuck, and I've been stuck on this for a year. I don't know how to make that decision.
All right. In an ideal world, how would you show up for a relationship with your in-laws?
See, I don't know. I mean, my dream would be that we talk via Skype or whatever other method. We are honest with them about what's going on in our life, the excitements, the ups and the downs.
What prevents you from doing that now?
There's a language barrier.
Can you sit with your husband and let him translate?
Yes, I can. And we've done that. He isn't super on board with a great relationship with them either.
It doesn't matter.
And I'm struggling.
Your relationship with them is based on how you want to show up, doesn't
it? Yeah.
How he wants to show up is based on how he wants to show up.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Their response to you is not up to you. What you need to do is decide how you want to contribute to the relationship and how that makes you feel. If you feel like right now it's exactly how you want it to be, then you don't need to do anything. But I don't think you do. I think there's something that you're looking for. You just need to make sure you create the thought and the feeling that bounces off that action, that creates that action of you showing up the way you want to. So it's
like, right.
You know the thought model? Do you know?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So the result is, you know, defined relationship you want.
Mm-hmm.
But what it really means is how you show up, the person you want to be in the relationship.
So what are the options for what a relationship with in-laws can look like?
That's the same as a relationship with anybody.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be, you know, in-laws or husband or
son or daughter or boss or whatever.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. This is just, this has been really painful for me and really hard for me because my expectations of what the relationship could be is so,
your expectations of what you want them to react to you as you have,
I want them to like me. Right. Oh, and
that doesn't mean you have to show up any differently.
Right. I know. I just don't want to, you know, hide in the corner and eat and drink when they get here.
Yeah, so don't.
Because I'm avoiding their criticism of my Americanness.
You know, you get to have an opinion about Americans. How many times have we told jokes about Polish people in our lives, right?
Oh, yeah. I've heard it all about Americans.
I mean, maybe that's why they don't like Americans. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, it predates me, that's for sure.
What if you're the person that turns them on Americans because of this bubbly, vivacious personality that you have?
Yeah, I mean, that would be wonderful.
Them that, you know, at least this American can be pretty cool.
Right.
Showing up that way. But if you isolate yourself, all you're doing is reinforcing their belief about Americans.
Right. No, I mean, that's a good point. And I guess I struggle with, you know, how much of their crap do I put up with, you know, how much of their criticism, negativity, I got to make some decisions around that.
That's up to you.
Oh man. I wish this was so easy.
Yeah. I can't draw your blueprint on this one.
No, it's okay. Models have been really helpful, though.
Yeah.
Models have been really helpful just to take some of the emotion out sometimes and just kind of talk about facts. And so I've appreciated PNP for models for this reason.
Yeah. When did you start?
Last year. So this has been my main TDL and model.
Have you done the relationships course?
I did. Yes. Yep. And that was good.
Did you do it with your in-laws in mind?
Yes, I did. And it's also allowed my husband and I to have some conversations about, because he is a filter in this relationship in many ways with the language, right? Even the word one uses, there's shades of meanings of words, right? So if there's a translation happening. Mm-hmm. And so so it's been a good discussion point, but all of this has been exacerbated with the baby coming. And so we just got to figure, they want to come visit for a month as soon as the baby's born. And I don't know if I'm ready for that. And so, and stay with us.
You get to decide if you're going to be ready for that.
Yeah.
How you show up is going to either make you feel good about yourself or not so good about yourself.
Right. I want to feel good about myself. Mm-hmm. I want to feel confident in my decisions and I want to be strong enough to not let some of the stuff they do and say bother me. And the other woman said, she said, I wrote it down. She says, I want me to not need that. You know, I want me to not need. And I wrote that down. I was like, oh, that's such a good line.
Yes.
Because I don't want to need satisfaction or to need approval. I want to be able to do my own thing. That's hard.
No, it's not.
I'm working on it.
That's a thought.
That is a thought. I'll work on that thought.
All right.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. See you.
All right. Take care.
Kelly, I see you. I'm coming to get you. Now you're really the last one.
Uh-oh. Can you see me? Okay. Hi, Kathy.
Hello, Kelly.
Okay.
What's up? You've waited a long time. Thank you.
Thank you for taking me.
You're welcome.
People pleasing.
Mm.
Kathy, I don't know if it's just because I'm growing, but all of a sudden I am so aware of how much people pleasing I do. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I do anything because it's what I want to do.
That's interesting.
What is my first step to changing this?
Figuring out what you want to do. Looking, you've been on for a while, right?
People
are looking for approval.
Yes.
Okay. So what you have to start doing is finding approval within yourself. That sounds, I mean, that's just like, sounds so easy, right?
Yeah.
But that's essentially what people pleasing is. You know, you're working really hard to make sure somebody likes you. So what you're doing is trying to change their model. You're trying to change their thoughts and their feelings. And the reason it becomes so frustrating, the reason you try so hard is because you really can't change their thoughts and their feelings. Okay? So when we people please, we're trying to get that validation back that, oh, you know, thank you so much. That's so nice. Oh, good. You know, they like me, right?
Right.
When, if you like yourself well enough, you don't have to get that feedback from them.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. So do you like yourself well enough?
I want to.
So when have you heard Corinne say people pleasers are the biggest liars?
Yes. And I know that to be true. I feel like I go into things with the best intentions, but I end up resenting them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what happens is you go in there and you say, oh, sure, I'll do this for you. And you really don't want to do that. So you have to, it's almost like an overeating cycle. You know, really you go in and you overeat and then you feel bad because you overate. So you overeat some more, right? So you have to stop the cycle.
So is it just a pause?
It's a pause. I mean, asking yourself, is this really what I want to do? Is this really what, you know, how I, you know, want to be in this situation? Try stopping with a pause. When you find yourself, or reflect on it, when you find yourself saying yes to something that you really don't want to do, or yes to someone you really don't want to say yes to, ask yourself, why did I do that? Begin to bring some awareness into those conversations in your mind. Okay, why did I really do that? That's not what I really wanted. What did I really want in that situation? And then as you start having those conversations about each individual, you know, people-pleasing event, you'll start to see the thoughts come in a little bit faster. Okay? You want to give me an example?
I can't think of an exact example. I mean, what's really brought it to my attention is I've set some very specific goals and like small steps to take every day to meet those goals. Mm-hmm. And I find that I'm not taking my small step because I'm running around, you know, doing things for everyone in my family that they probably could do themselves.
Okay. So give me an example of one small step that you're not doing because you're running around doing stuff for your family.
I mean, even taking, you know, a half hour to TDL every day.
Okay. So when could you do that? That's non-negotiable.
Probably any time in the evening. So, okay. Yeah. So are you saying just schedule a time?
Yes.
And just no matter what, stick with my time. And I'm sorry, I can't help you with that now.
I'll get to you in a minute. This is my time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know when I TDL? Have you ever heard this story?
When your husband's in the shower.
That's right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It works. And that's my trigger to know that it's time. And I sit down and I do it and I get it done. And I feel so much better because I have created that time for myself.
Right.
Give me another example of something that you don't do because you're taking for yourself because you're taking care of your family. You plan.
I plan.
Okay.
11 days in a row, Kathy. Woo!
That's great. Yeah.
Had to have a little restart.
Do you do your, do you drop the plan because you're going out to eat because somebody else wants something different or anything like that?
No, I'm pretty good about that.
Good about that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So is it just the TDLing or is it other things?
It's other things. I mean, just even, you know, I have a goal to like completely declutter everything. And I'm not even spending a few minutes doing that every day. Or I have, you know, I have hobbies and like I want to quilt more and I find myself not even getting to it.
Okay.
You know.
And is it because you didn't dedicate time to it? You didn't say this is going to be my time to quilt? Is it because you're not even going that far?
I will go that far, but then I'll abandon it.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because someone requests my time for something else.
And you give in, why?
Because I think they need me.
Because you think they need me more than I need myself.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's your work. How important are you to yourself?
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. Do you have any other, like, journaling prompts?
You could ask yourself, why did I make that decision? Mm-hmm. You could ask yourself, and TDL on that, you could ask yourself, why did I abandon my plan? You could ask yourself, why didn't I set a time aside time for me? You could ask yourself, where can I find time for me today?
More ahead of the game, mm-hmm. you know, to get my head in the right space.
Yeah. You can try time blocking your day. Okay, I get up at 7 in the morning. From 7 to 8, I'm going to shower and get dressed. At 8 o'clock, I'm going to, you know, blah, blah, blah. Try time blocking your day and see if that helps.
Okay.
That's how you actually create time, you know, so you're not wasting it because you're on a schedule. You know, I don't know how you feel about stuff like that. It works for me. It works.
Oh, I love to do that.
Yeah.
But I don't keep my commitment to myself.
Mm-hmm. That's what you need to work on. Commitment to yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Because if you start making commitments to yourself, you start feeling better about yourself. Guess what? You don't need the people pleasing.
I know. It's a whole cycle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Either way.
Yep. Sound good?
Sounds good, Kathy.
All right. Thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for staying for me.
Okay. See you soon.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
All right, everybody. Thank you for your patience in the middle with the weird Zoom thing. And thanks for hanging in. I will see you guys soon. Bye.